Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
Includa, including in Tuca, trying to smash it into one word.
And inform you in the afternoon.
Tuca puked on his pad.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, it was a very disappointing loss yesterday. I think that the further you go in the playoffs, the harder it is to lose. And, you know, what was interesting about yesterday's game is I felt like it was, you know, one of the playoff games that we lost that we should have won. And so that's gonna eat at all of us for a while. Hopefully, like Brad said, that pain that you feel from losing is part of the growth that we need to take to become a great team. You know, I've been meeting with the players this morning, and you know, just it hurts.
I imagine heard Danny Ainge say it right there. One of those playoff games they should have won. Do you concur?
Yes. Yep. They should have won that game. No question about it. Absolutely. I mean, given the way the thing went, game seven at home, you get a big lead early, all of that. You hadn't lost at home the whole postseason. The game was a very winnable game, and they didn't. They gagged down the stretch. I mean, I don't know.
So you think they choked? They gagged.
In game seven, yeah.
Love it.
Now, again, I picked Cleveland going into the series, okay? But I also thought it wasn't going to get past game six in Cleveland. So now you get it home for game seven. You're up double digits in the second quarter. You get into the fourth quarter, and all of a sudden you can't throw it in the ocean. And more importantly, you can't get the ball to the right guy. Like, so now look, like everybody, I have a million thoughts about the game. When you get into game seven down the stretch, that's where you need a guy who can get his own shot and score on his own. Systems break down. It's tough to run offenses. The referees are going to swallow the whistles. It's going to become like a playground game where no blood, no foul. For the most part, that's what you're going to get. And you need a guy who can pull one out of his butt and make it under pressure. You need that guy. The Celtics, I think, have a budding one, but they didn't get him the ball enough. Beyond that, there was nobody else. But, you know, how else do you explain the misses? At home, how else do you explain them?
Well, to me, the level of misses, the percentage of misses. They shoot, you know, they shot 17% from three. Their team average, I keep asking the question, I forget to look it up, but the team average is going to be around 30% probably, right?
For the season?
Yeah.
Oh, higher. 37, 38%.
Okay, so there you go.
Yeah.
So if they're a 30-something percent shooting three-point team, and they shoot 25%, they probably win. What I'm trying to say is if they just have a below-average day, they win. They had an epically bad day, which is what you attribute that to. Is that just random? Is that just coincidence? Or do they feel it?
No, they were feeling it. There's no question. I think they looked up, and they said, oh, here we are. Now, to me, a couple of realizations hit them. One, in the second quarter, it was like all of a sudden we're on the verge of blowing out the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they just couldn't close the door. So I think reality dawned on them then.
Or at that stage, blow the door open.
Right, right. They understood, like, right then and there, they had a chance to blow the game open, and they felt it a little bit. Like, oh, we can put them away now.
That includes the coach, by the way.
In the second quarter?
Yep.
What did he do in the second quarter?
Up 12 with about 7 minutes to go, and the Cavs are doing nothing on offense. He calls a timeout for whatever the hell reason. It allows the Cavaliers to catch their breath, and within a few minutes, they cut it to within two.
So mandatory timeout there, Murray.
Yeah, he did. He was asked about that one, Murray. So
in the NBA, there are mandatory timeouts that are given to the home and visiting team. That just happened to be Stevens' mandatory timeout.
Is it TV timeout is what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah, 6:59 and 2:59 usually is when they are.
Or the first whistle thereafter.
Yeah, right. The first whistle after those thresholds.
And they count
thresholds.
Against, if the home or road team hasn't used them, they count against their total
so
or something.
So you can't hoard timeouts.
Yeah. Correct. One goes to each team, I think, is how they do
so
it.
So he didn't technically call that, is what
correct.
You're saying.
Correct. He said it. In fact, he was asked about
sorry,
it.
Sorry, Murray.
Well, yeah. That's stupid. He still gets part of the blame pie because he should have went to Tatum or Al Horford down low late.
Yeah, see, I don't let him off the hook for that reason. Like, in that situation, you got to be yelling out onto the floor, hey, fellas, let's get the ball to Jason okay. here.
So now we're talking the fourth quarter, not the second.
Correct.
Okay, and so I'm with you totally on the fourth quarter. Totally.
But they
go one for their last 12, and Tatum takes only one shot. One for their last 12, and Tatum gets only one attempt, and this comes immediately after his dunk on LeBron and the three that gave him their last lead.
And that three was a money shot. Boy, was it a money shot.
And again, for those of us who were in the building and stayed in the building,
yeah, you can look right at me.
4 minutes in between shots for Jason Tatum. That is unacceptable.
Changed everything. That's on the coach. I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
Or the overall management of the team. Management. So whether that's your veterans, your players, the coach, whatever, that's where I thought the Celts would win. That's where I wanted to get to in this series. I thought that was your advantage. It turns out, nope, just the opposite.
So I went through that stretch and looked at the shots that they took. And
fourth quarter or second?
Fourth, no. Fourth. And that stretch of shots where they missed them all. And everybody got shots except Tatum. Really. And the one Tatum missed, he gets stripped on the way to the basket. I think they actually counted it as a field goal attempt. But otherwise, during that stretch, Horford missed two, Smart missed two, Rozier missed two, Morris missed two, and Brown missed that long three from the wing. After a timeout, they ran a play, and he got sort of an off-the-dribble three that he missed, which was reasonably close. But nonetheless, they didn't give the ball to Tatum. He's your best scorer one-on-one. That's what you're left with. I have felt this way throughout the playoffs. I said to you at the beginning of the series, if I'm Cleveland, LeBron's on Tatum. LeBron's taking Tatum out.
And you look at Stevens for that.
I do. Okay. Absolutely.
Second quarter.
The second quarter, I think they looked up and went, oh boy, here we go. Like, we have a chance to blow this thing open, and they just all of a sudden turtled up. That's what I think happened. They were up 10 with the ball, and Morris missed a three, I think it was. And this was early in the second. They could have gone up 13 right there. In fact, they had three cracks to knock it up to 13, 12 or 13. The last one was a three, which would have put it at 13. They missed them all. Cleveland comes down, gets a three-point play. Tristan Thompson makes the free throw. Now it's seven. It was a six-point swing. It was huge. Huge. And I know it was early in the game, but in those games, every possession matters. And then, a little bit later, it was worse. I think they got it back up to 12 again. And they had five cracks at it. Five! And they couldn't score on any of them. And then Cleveland whittled it down, and by halftime, it was a four-point game. They right there, they had the chance to have it to, like, 17, 18 in the second quarter and blow them out of the building.
So you know who agrees with you? Is it Brad or is it Coach Stevens?
Brad.
Oh, Brad agrees.
He got
with
pantsed
you.
By LeBron and Tyronn Lue. Disgusting.
Well, at least Brad identified the key to the game, which I think is what you're saying, Maz. Go ahead.
I thought the biggest moment of the game was when we couldn't extend the lead in the second quarter. And I just felt like it was, you know, we were in really good shape, and then we just couldn't quite extend the lead, and I thought that added to probably the shooting the rest of the game. But I'm like, this group was resilient and tough enough to do it anyways, and that's what I loved about being around them every day.
Okay, I don't get the last part of that segment, that comment, but he even said that led to the shooting the rest of the game, where they just tightened right up the whole thing.
I just think that it was such a huge stretch, and I felt that way at the time. I felt that way before. You know, I heard it from him. Watching it, I went, oh my God, this hurts. This hurts. The 13-7 one really stuck out to me. And then again, when I went back and looked at the game, 8:52 to go, they're up 12. Morris misses a turnaround. Tatum misses a three. Shot clock turnover. Brown misses a three. And then Tatum turns over the ball again. Cleveland scores, it's down to 10. Cleveland scores again, it's down to 8. All of a sudden, it gets to 4 at the end of the half. They had five possessions. Five, and Cleveland's doing nothing during that whole stretch of time.
Who do we blame the most? Murray, who do you blame the most? Who's number one?
Rozier. Terry Rozier's number one. Him, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Morris. I mean, it's an absolute gag job by them. You shoot 34% at home, where they're mostly flat-out dominant for most of the postseason. 34%? It's a gag job. I don't want to hear anything else. It's a choke.
So after, Maz, you just mentioned there was a Morris three that gave him a 12-point lead with 8:52 remaining in the second quarter, okay? And then they missed the next five, as you said. But from that point forward, from when they got that 12-point lead with 8:52 left, they were 14 of 55 from the field.
Boy, that is brutal.
25%. They got only three buckets the rest of the second quarter, and then only four in the third. And that set up everything that happened in the fourth. That was your game. That was your game right
there.
Yeah,
and look, again, it did. It snowballed. There's no question. And if you think it didn't, watch Rozier's misses in particular in the fourth quarter. He front-rimmed them. Morris hit the back of the rim. Brown's was a good shot that didn't go. I mean, the release was good, all of it. Rozier felt to me like he was short-arming the ball.
Who do you blame the most? Who's number one on the list?
I mean, I go to the backcourt. I go, Rozier's up there. You can't go 0 for 10 from three-point lane. You can't do it. You know, and again, I looked it up today. Marcus Smart, in the two game sevens from three-point land, and I'm including the Milwaukee game now, I'm going back this postseason, 1 for 13 from three-point land. In fact, those three guys, really, and I'm throwing Jaylen Brown into the mix, Rozier, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, during the two game sevens, were horrendous. They were horrendous shooting the ball, Okay, Rozier was 12 for 30. Brown.
So Milwaukee game seven.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the two game sevens, the two, you know, win or go home games. Rozier was 12 for 30. Brown was 6 for 23. This is overall now. Smart was 3 for 17. Okay, that is combined 21 for 70, those three guys. And then from three, they were worse.
And Brad keeps letting them chuck.
Yes. So to me, the thing, I look at a game seven. Once it was close in the final 6 minutes, then I got really worried. Because I look at it and say, LeBron knows what he's doing here. And he's either going to get points or fouls. And how are you going to score now down the stretch?
Who do you blame, Jimmy?
I blame two people mainly. One is Brad. Brad got outcoached by LeBron, Tyronn Lue. Didn't call timeouts when the team needed timeouts. And as far as players go, I blame Al Horford. Al Horford should have come up a lot bigger, being the veteran presence on this team late in the game, and make that three-point shot with 3:27 to go that would have tied the game and probably helped you win the game. Horford is to blame for this situation in Game 7.
Last big shot of the game. 3:20 left, wide open at the three-point line elbow.
That's typically his shot.
Oh, it's so his shot.
That was at the right elbow, right?
Yeah. And that's all alone. Go look at it. It is him, time to set the whole thing. And if, you know, he can take that 100 times a game as far as I'm concerned. He's money right there.
Except when it counted.
And then he just...
What a choke.
Tightened
what
right
an
up.
Absolute choke job.
Horford, no buckets in the third. 0 for 2, minus 9. Fourth quarter, 1 for 3, minus 5. Second half of that game, 1 for 5, 3 points, minus 14.
Invisible. Yeah, he was. He was invisible.
Is that him, though, or is that Brad not getting him the ball? Coach Stevens getting him the ball.
The offense runs through Al Horford. Horford's the veteran. Take charge of the game.
They stopped.
Take charge. Do it.
Okay. Well, it's a coach to start calling some screen and rolls, some pick and rolls, which is their offense.
Or like Brad has been doing during the playoffs, when he sees a player about to take a bad shot, Marcus Morris, he calls a timeout.
You got
it. So it's on Brad and it's on Al Horford.
The game ends with Stevens has two timeouts in his back pocket. He didn't use two of his timeouts.
You can't take him to overtime, Brad.
And you've got these sequences where, you know, offensive rebound, kick out, immediately three.
Twice it happened.
Offensive rebound, kick out, immediate three.
On the same possession, it happened twice.
And how often have you seen Stevens, as to Jimmy's point, in the middle of that, call a timeout in a weird part of the shot clock where you go, huh? But he's doing it because he's saving the Celtics from another bad shot from Marcus Morris or Marcus Smart, or it's just sped up on him, and he slows it down for you. It's what he did so brilliantly in that Philadelphia series. And then he gets to Game 7, Cleveland. He's got two timeouts sitting there, and they're bombs away, and the game is sped up, and no one can slow the game down and get a good shot, and he just lets it go.
Maybe it sped up on him, too.
Ooh.
I mean, maybe it did. Maybe, you know, now all of a sudden LeBron's on the other side, and everything gets a little different. And so I just think that was, you know, the fourth quarter, it was apparent. It just, they couldn't make.
They leaked it right down their shorts.
Oh, they really did. They couldn't make. It was ridiculous. And the threes were open. A lot of them were open.
They were, so according to The Athletic,
they're like 1 for 12 for open threes.
Something like that.
1 for 12 on open threes after the first quarter. In the first quarter, they hit 2 out of 3 open threes. And then the rest of the game, they were 1 for 12 on open threes. Open threes. 1 for 12 on open threes, including 0 for 4 in open threes the final 5 minutes. And the one that stands out to me is the Horford one. That's the one. That's the one you got to get.
That was when Murray left.
That's true. That's the one that sent me home.
Oh, he just storms out. You are so pathetic. You are like a little child.
No, I know a loss when I see one, Mike. And after that clang, I was like, well, I'm beating the crowd. I'm getting home quick. And guess what? I was right. And I'm glad that I did.
That's, by the way, the moment that the kids stopped, too.
I'm sorry?
That's when the other players on the court, they seem deflated.
So Washburn pointed that out, that the body language of the whole team changed after that Horford miss. That's the one that I just starred immediately. So, folks, back from a long holiday weekend, your reaction to the Celtics Game 7 loss to Cleveland on Sunday night at the Garden. Right to you after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5. Sports Hub.
Tatum had a look, doesn't take it, steps into 17 feet and knocks down the first shot of Game 7. Long lead pass gets to Tatum. He spins away from traffic and hits a three. Tatum shakes off Thompson, loses him, and thrills the baseline jumper.
No, that'll get you a timeout. Somebody get off my toe. Jason Tatum.
Kick to the corner. Morris waiting. Three. Got it.
That was nicely done. Kick inside, outside, move the basketball.
Celtics by 12. 35-23. Jeff Green jumps over Baines, scored on the foul. Jeff Green with a three-point play has tied Game 7 with 6:51 remaining in the third quarter. LeBron steps to the line, left-hand dribble in traffic, falling away, banks it home. Brilliant. Tatum left-hand dribble, drives on, flushes hard on LeBron James. He couldn't block that one.
Hey.
Smart shovels to Tatum, up fake, steps to his left, fall away, three, got it!
No! Where's the nurse at when you need her? Where is she?
The Celtics have the lead in Game 7, and it's Jason Tatum who has led them there. 72-71. And Ty Lue using a second timeout. That's about LeBron.
Well, yeah,
that's just going to give LeBron some more rest. Celtics down 3. 3:27 to go in Game 7. Bounce entry, Morris against Hill. Isolated. Double team comes from Jeff Green. Kick out. Swung around to Horford for 3. No good. Back iron. Rebound George Hill. And the Celtics are 6 of 32 from distance in Game 7.
Getting the looks.
LeBron has got it. He will race into the front court against Marcus Morris. LeBron fights through. Goaltend. And the foul. And LeBron James is going to take a team that no one believed in and bring them back to the NBA Finals.
Every ending is tough, you know, and I guess that's for all 29 teams that don't win it. No matter how good of a season you've had, the ones that don't end with you winning a championship, just, you know, it's going to be a disappointing ending.
All right, again, we continue to react to the Celtics Game 7 loss in the East Finals on Sunday night. Most of you were off yesterday, so we get to it today. Right to your phones here, as promised. Joe in the car. What do you got, Joe? Joseph!
I'm here.
Go.
I'm here. So, one of the things I noticed was LeBron James resting the whole second half on defense because he got to cover Marcus Smart.
Okay, I don't think he was... I felt LeBron rested in the second quarter. I felt there was times in the first half, I'm like, he's getting his rest now. He's not coming off, but he's getting his rest now. In the second half, did he rest anywhere? I don't really feel that.
I mean, I'm bad at that sometimes. I don't pay attention always on the defensive end. I'm more focused on the ball like most people. But I'll tell you this, he picked his spots. Like, well, once there was a need to go up and challenge a shot, he would go up and challenge it, and he absolutely cleaned up on the defensive glass.
Absolutely. How many rebounds did he have?
15, yes. All on the defensive board.
Yeah, he was, absolutely. And he absolutely got Rozier. Did you think that was a foul?
It was.
I thought so, too.
It was a foul. It was an absolute foul, but you're not going to get that.
If you get the ball first on a dunk, are you allowed to draw the hand? Like,
no.
How do they call that?
No. It's a standard shot attempt. I mean, he absolutely hacked him.
Slammed him in the hand.
Totally. It was a foul. Completely a foul, but you're not going to get it. And honestly, on that sort of play, I don't mind them not calling it.
And let me say.
And also, Rozier is trying to dunk on LeBron.
Exactly.
Stop with that, Terry Rozier.
Well, LeBron baited him.
Oh, he did, yeah.
It was pretty from where we were sitting.
Not so scary now, are you, Terry?
You could see it coming.
Couldn't you see LeBron purposely sort of give him the lane, dupe him into thinking, baiting him into thinking he had a clear path, and then he just closed?
He did, totally.
Oh,
yeah.
It was badass.
He did. Oh, no, he put the cheese right out there, and the little mouse Rozier took it, and LeBron absolutely shoved the cheese down his throat.
Cam and Taunton, what'd you think of the loss?
I might be over-exaggerating because I'm a little emotional right now. I think that was the worst loss in the history of the team. Because most of the time they've lost before, and it was the teams they should have lost to, teams they weren't better than. You were better than that Cavaliers team. I know that they have LeBron James. Draft that game the other night. You have 2-4 at the least. You might have 2-6. You're the better team. You were up 2-0. You were up 3-2. And you know what the most insulting part about all of this is? You knew LeBron was going to go off in those two games, especially in Game 6. You knew that. You let Jeff freaking Green...
God.
Shove the ball down your throat. You let that gutless, sackless loser shove the ball down your throat. That team deserved to lose that game because you went out in Game 7, and the only guy who shows up is a 20-year-old rookie? What was that?
They gagged.
For two straight games with Jeff Green. Not just Game 7. Jeff Green was great in Game 6,
he
too.
He did. You know what? In a lot of ways, that was the turning point of the series. Once they got Love out of there, that Green played well and allowed them to play better defense on top of it.
Freaking scary. Freaking scary, because I still think he sucks. I think even when he was playing well, he sucked. Like, I just think he blows.
He does.
Oh, God.
you're not wrong there.
He just doesn't look right. Worst loss in Celtics. So let's just go.
No, Game 7, 2010 was worse. Game 4.
Okay, but hold on. Game 7, 2010 in L.A.
Yeah.
They lost 6 and 7, didn't they? Yes, they lost 6 and 7.
Right.
Because it was 2-3-2. They were up 3-2. They went back to LA. They lost 6 and 7. Perk got hurt in game 6.
And they were up 13 in game 7 in the second half.
Yeah, that's worse.
Okay, that's one. I think this was worse than the LeBron game in 2012. Because that team, that was the Miami Heat team with Bosch and Wade. That was a fully loaded, good team that won a couple titles, went to 4 straight. That you got beat by a better team that day. This? I don't think this team's winning jack. And you had him 12 points, and I love that stat, Maz. I meant to look this up yesterday. You're up 12 points in the second quarter with 5 possessions to stretch it beyond, and you can't get a bucket.
It was unbelievable. I mean, really, it was unbelievable. Cleveland was stone cold, and they had a bunch of cracks at it, and they couldn't score. And that came after, again, having the chance to go from 10 to 13 and got 3 cracks at it and couldn't score.
Scott in New Hampshire. Hi, Scott.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
The one silver lining with this loss is I'm hoping that we can please put an end to all this scary Terry crap.
I agree.
I am so tired. I hated it from the very beginning. And granted, this guy stepped up and he played decent, but he completely disappeared in game 7. And in the beginning, when Horford was dominating in that second quarter, we go to Terry Hero ball. Terry Hero ball in the fourth quarter when they came in. He shouldn't have sniffed that court in the fourth quarter. He was absolutely horrendous.
You know what Terry Rozier is? Yeah, I'm sorry, Scott. He's a little mini Isaiah, mouthy little peanut. Yeah, to talk about a guy with a inflated sense of self-worth.
Yeah.
I mean, Maz has been on this a lot, but he had a comment yesterday or after the game where he was asked what he learned this year with all his playing time. And I don't have it in front of me, but he said something along the lines of, well, other than selling a lot of T-shirts, leadership. That he talked about his T-shirts and the stupid, scary Terry T-shirt.
Yeah, and then go back to the Philly series. You know, knocking the ball off of Embiid's legs. It was a championship play. Talking about himself.
This guy's got a little inflated sense of self. And that means he's going to want to get paid like it.
He won't be here next year. That's a prediction.
Means like he's going to want to get, you know, the touches to, you know, like all that stuff. I think it on a mini scale. The crap you had to deal with Isaiah, you have to deal with Terry Rozier. It feels like it's in the same ballpark.
I mean, there is some. I'm with Jimmy. I don't think he's going to be here. Because I think there's value for him now. And you know, they'll find somewhere to move him.
You got to pay Marcus Smart because he's unrestricted, right?
Correct.
Is Rozier...
Rozier is $3 million next year.
He's
under contract.
Oh, so... I don't know. That's good value.
It's great value. And he's a good insurance policy in case something happens to Kyrie.
You can't let him go, Jimmy. For all as much as a pain in the ass that he feels like he might be or how he let you down here in this game, $3 million for insurance on Kyrie, he's not going anywhere. I didn't realize that.
No, there's a stupid team like the Orlando Magic who will trade you the number 6 pick for Rozier and the Kings pick.
Okay, well now we're talking about something else.
See, I think there's a chance that they could move up in the draft. I'm not expecting major moves from them. But I think that there's a chance they could try to move up in the draft and that Rozier would be part of that.
If Rozier gets you 6, okay, yeah, smell you later. I don't care how much your contract
is. What if he gets you 12?
No. Nope. 6 is as low as I want to go, frankly.
Okay, you're not going to get 6 for Rozier. I mean, maybe if you throw in that Sacramento pick, you will. But, I, you know, to me, he's not going to get you that
Maz
much.
Maz is right. If it's Rozier for 12, that's a fair trade, and I would make that deal.
Oh, I would not. I would not. And for all the ripping we're going to do of him in the offseason and how much I think he's worth, you know, he deserves the ripping.
0-for-10.
And mouthy.
Ooh. It's a great analogy.
Mouthy.
He's got a stupid nickname that spawned an equally stupid T-shirt.
And that he's, like, into.
He's been wildly overrated by the dumbest segment of fans, who at times have even chanted, like, MVP. I know it's somewhat jokingly, but they've overrated this guy. And like you said, he's got an inflated sense of self.
Got a little bit of a tune.
And he's a guard. Yeah. Who does he remind me of? The mouthy little peanut.
You're welcome for that, Murray. Here's Murray's update. We're back with more.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Combination of both. Anytime the greatest player in the world drops 35, 15, and 9 on you in a game 7, you're damn right that's too much. But we also have to take into account the fact that you're looking at the Boston Celtics and look at what you have. You have a Terry Rozier who's been impressive throughout these playoffs, filling in admirably for Kyrie Irving. He shoots 2 of 14 from the field and 0 of 10 from 3-point range. He pulls a John Starks from the finals with the Knicks and the Houston Rockets in the mid-90s. No disrespect to John Starks. I love him. But we all remember that moment. moment. And then you've got Marcus Smart, who shoots 1 of 10 from the field and 0 for 4 from three-point range. Well, that's 3 of 24 between the two guys from the court, from the field, and 0 for 14 from three-point range. So you're damn right. It seemed that the moment was just too big for guys. At least that's how it appeared.
Moment too big for the Celtics. I think that's obvious. Obvious. Questions, do you put the coach on the list? And the question to Stephen A., was it more about LeBron or more about the Celtics? Was it more about LeBron or more about the Celtics, Murray?
It's more about the Celtics and them choking.
Agreed. I mean, LeBron was brilliant. I mean, I think he was just tremendous.
I was surprised, too. I thought Game 7 was going to be something a little more pedestrian after Game 6.
So, I mean, really, I respect LeBron a lot and the way he played at the end of the series. I was half expecting him to pack it in, you know? He's just, I mean, he went all out. He played basically every minute the last two games just to get his brains beat in the finals in five games. Like, that actually shows me something.
Absolutely it does. No two ways. I got no issues with LeBron and what he's done with this team in that series.
So, all that being said, though, he was only good to lead his team to 87 points. You know how many times you scored 79 points or fewer this year, regular season or playoffs?
Probably once.
Once.
That was it, huh?
Once.
Wow.
Once. So you can't get... You can't get into the 90s against, I mean, so that's, I'm sorry, it's more on you than it is on them.
Oh, see, I don't think there's any question about it again.
I mean, Game 6, you want to say it was about LeBron? I'll give you that.
Yeah, yeah, no, that game definitely was.
He had 109 points on the board.
Sure.
Okay, fine. 87. Oy. No, that's more about
you. Oh, no. They looked up and realized what they were about to do, and the best player in the world was on the other side, and they turtled.
Mike and Needham, your thoughts? Mike and Needham, your thoughts? Okay, babe, you can call us back. You know the number. Jay in New Hampshire. Hi, Jay.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, man.
Hey, first of all, after watching the post game, it's nice to know that we can actually criticize the Celtics a little bit and not just be happy they got there. I mean, this is a little bit refreshing.
I agree. Thank you.
This sounded... Has anybody commented on just how horrible the basketball was in general in that last game? This was cornhole. Of just chucking it up and chucking it up from 30 feet out and hoping you land in the thing.
So glad you brought this
Celtics
up.
Celtics fans got cornholed. There's no question about it.
That's what it was, cornhole from 30 feet. You know, and what got them in part the lead was having Baines in there, being able to work the ball inside, not him scoring, but some rebounding. And I put it right on Brad Stevens for not recognizing in the second quarter, the threes are not going to be there tonight, fellas. We got to do something else. And what are they doing in the third quarter and fourth quarter? Chucking it up.
What happened to the offense running through Al Horford at the top of the key? What happened to that?
Good question. I mean, again, I was just looking it up. They took the magician.
The magician, there
you go. Yes, yeah, vanishing act.
Can I adjust the magician for a second from Al Horford to Brad?
Wow. Couple of disappearing acts. Wow.
I'm getting mean back there.
They're perfect for each other. They disappear in big games now.
The Celtics, the caller's right. The Celtics took 21 shots in the fourth quarter. 13 of them were threes.
Oh, it's just a joke. But I will say, we were talking about this off the air. The whole league has gotten stupid.
I've learned to hate the league over the last, 48 hours.
I mean, if you watch these Houston games, and last night was just a 27 straight.
7 for 44. The two losing, and maybe there's a message in this, the two losing teams in Game 7 went 14 for 83 from three-point land.
And again, the number is 83. 83.
16.9%. You know what? If you take 83 threes in Game 7 combined, you deserve to lose. You do. You deserve to lose.
So, but the league's gotten stupid. I mean, I thought the Warriors, when I watched the Warriors, I think they're just chucking and ducking too. And I think the advanced analytics have gotten... As usual, they've gone too far. Don't tell me that that's a better percentage play than if you have bigger guys who can spot up and get a good look at the rim inside the line. You know, this whole thing about just give LeBron the two. They're worried about the three. I'm like, okay, I'll take the two. I think it's gone way too far. And it's the Celtics aren't the only one. I mean,
that Trevor Ariza last night should have been tased.
Oh,
like, make him stop.
Oh, it's unreal. The game has gone too far.
It has. It's ridiculous. It's like arena ball. That's what it is. Chuck and duck. It's the run and shoot of basketball. Oh God, it's ridiculous. Let's just keep chucking it up from three. And you know, common sense. Slow the momentum. Just get a two.
Right.
Get a two. Slow the momentum. Everything's good. You know, but you let the thing snowball, and all of a sudden you're down 10 with 40 seconds to go.
Pete in Delaware, hi.
Hey, guys. You know what bothers me the most is the fact that Jeff freaking Green outplayed every Celtic but Jason Tatum in Game 7 at home. That is just, if he told me that was going to happen, I would put any amount of money on it that it would never happen, and it happened. And the other thing is Marcus Smart, like Jimmy was saying, two timeouts left. Call a timeout. Run a freaking play for Jason Tatum. Marcus Smart could not hit a shot. It was just unbelievable, and he kept doing it and kept chucking it up there. There was no offense.
And I'll tell you, Stevens had done such a good job of calling those timeouts early in the playoffs and during the regular season. Bad look. He'll call a timeout with 12 seconds left on the shot clock, and you're like, huh? And then you realize it's Marcus Morris or Marcus Smart had the ball, and he wasn't going to let him do it. What happened?
Good question. You got me. I mean, the coach needed to intervene there. He did. And even if it was just to say we're going to get the ball to Tatum. Like, I get it.
Yeah, right. Put up number two or whatever the play is. Run your play for Tatum.
I mean, I get it. It's game seven. All of a sudden, it's, the clock's ticking. It's a one-point game. Everybody's a little tight. No one wants to shoot. I get it. I understand it. Then give it to the one guy who does want to shoot.
Ralph, what do you think in Rhode Island?
Hey, guys. Well, first of all, Marcus Smart's going nowhere. No one's going to pay this guy. He's a valuable player. He's a non-scorer. He's coming back to the Celtics. He's not going to get a big contract offer from anyone. But this was probably the worst coaching job Stevens ever had. I love Stevens. First of all, the timeouts, not stemming the momentum. Of course he should have told Marcus Smart, Marcus, you're really not kidding. What are you throwing these bricks up for? But the biggest thing, guys, I totally expected them to come out and when LeBron got within 10 feet of half court, have somebody on him, make him work, make it tough.
Oh,
every
they did.
Single time he was
they did that.
To, they didn't do it anywhere near.
Yeah, they did. No. Marcus Morris picked him up at the half court line a lot in the second half. And so did Marcus Smart. No, I think they did that. I don't blame Stevens for any of the LeBron stuff. I don't. Meaning 36, triple-double, near triple-double. I don't blame Stevens for that because I think LeBron gets that when he wants it.
I mean, can we at least now put to rest formally the argument of coach versus player?
Thank you. Or just all the nonsense we had to hear from Green Teamers after game one, Maz? After we said LeBron really just wasn't engaged in this game? No! They have the answer! LeBron, no! Stevens has the answer for him! He's got the person who's got the answer for LeBron! Like, can we put a stop to that, please?
Oh, God, please. It's so idiotic. When he wants to score, he scores. Or at the very least, gets a good shot off, or close to the basket, gets a shot off. You're not going to stop him, okay? Like, Do not delude yourself into thinking that you are somehow going to stop the guy. He's a force.
In fact, defensively, you held them to 87. I mean, that's fine. It's more than fine. That should be a winning defensive effort.
I still think the guys on the periphery hurt them more. Because again, I expect LeBron to get his 30. When Jeff Green's pouring in 18 or whatever it is.
But there's only two threes. I think J.R. Smith is 3 of 8 from three. Jeff Green, I'm sorry, was 2 for 9. Like, they had a million shots out there because the Celtics gave it to them. The Celtics gave those bums those shots, and they still didn't hit. It's just, when you only score 79 points, it doesn't take much for the other side. And Cleveland didn't get much, but they didn't need much. So we're going to do this all day long. So fortunately or unfortunately, we still got to work all this stuff out of our system, your system. But we're not going to be totally Celtics. We got to get to David Price's afternoon yesterday at Fenway Park as well.
Because, I saw it live.
Because this was fun. So this was good. So we'll do this next as well with your Celtics thoughts. It's a long commercial-free segment right after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Junta.
Magenta?
Junta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Line shot, and it gets Price, who's going to go to pick it up and lob on to first to get him. Yeah, drilled by that. We'll see if he's all right, showing no signs at the moment. Sounded nasty.
And be able to get off the mound, get that ball, and throw the run out of first base, that's pretty impressive.
He did not give away a hint of pain either.
You know me. I'm the softest guy in this clubhouse. If that bothered me, I'd have been out of the game. I'm soft. It wasn't painful. I'm fine. If it was painful, I'd have came out.
So this guy, Murray.
What are you going to say about my toughness now? Come on, mock my hand. Mock my allergies.
So I didn't quite get when this happened yesterday. I didn't quite get it for some reason. Maybe I didn't want to get it. Like, I wasn't in the mood to talk about David Price yesterday. So I didn't get what he was doing or reacting to, or but now I do. Now
I'm mocking you, Felger. Well, what I'm doing.
Right, so here's the context. He gets hit in the hand by a line drive early in that ball game. He stays in, and he got walloped pretty good. You could hear him grunt when he got hit. It was a good shot. and he stayed in, won the ball game, pitched well, etc. So after the game, he's naturally asked about staying in the game after taking a hard liner off the hand, like anyone would be asked.
Did that bother you on the shot that you did hit?
No, me. You know, I'm the softest guy in this clubhouse. If that bothered me, I'd have been out of the game.
So just stop. So like, so immediately he's got to go to this. Oh, did I? Why did I stay in? Oh, I shouldn't have. I'm soft, right? Everybody, I'm some sort of Sally. I'm sort of mental case Sally, softy. So that's what he was doing. I'm like, dude, why? And my only conclusion, and I'll let you guys go, but my takeaway from all of it is, God, he hates it here. He just hates it. He hates it. He hates us. He hates the experience. He might like his teammates, like he says. I'm not going to take that away from him. He probably does. But the whole experience here, oh, does he hate it. Hates it. I mean, the guy missed his start a couple weeks ago because he plays too many video games. What does he expect? So, of course, he hears the chirping. And the first chance he gets to sort of put it back in your face, I guess, he does this thing. Here, pick it up, Jimmy.
You know me. You know, I'm the softest guy in this clubhouse. If that bothered me, I'd have been out of the game. You know, it's I'm soft.
How painful?
It wasn't painful. I'm fine. If it was painful, I'd have came out.
I don't feel that kind of pain. It was like a mosquito bite. I'm an American badass.
Seriously, like, what's this guy's problem?
Can't help
rabbit
himself.
Rabbit ears. That's the problem.
He's miserable.
It's exactly that. He cannot help himself.
He hates it.
I mean, he really, like, I really do look at him and say, dude, what's your problem? What is your problem? What is wrong with you? Like, this whole thing was gone. It was all gone. All you had to do was go out and pitch, not say anything stupid, and nobody's bugging you again. He can't help himself. I really do look at it and say, like, what is your problem? What has happened to you here that has been so bad? Really, that has been so bad.
You talked a bunch of crap. That's all, and I'm going to prove you all wrong. I'm going to make you love me.
So there's a scary line in here, too. Okay, Jimmy, keep going.
Baseball's really hard. You know, a guy standing 60 feet, 6 inches away is a big leaguer as well, and they're really good. It's not going to be a cakewalk every 5 days or if you're Chris Sale every time out. You know, it's always a grind. You know, and we're going through it, and we've battled quite a bit, you know, through these first 50-whatever games, and we've played really good baseball. You know, we've stuck together and played good defense, you know, timely hitting. You know, our pitching's been good, and that's what good teams do.
Yeah, tough life. $30 million a year. You got a guy 60 feet away. Every once in a while, you might have to dodge a ball or take one in the chest or something like that. You'll be just fine.
Well, it's not going to be a cakewalk.
You'll be. It's not. You live a charmed life. And he was legit. I think he was serious there. And he's talking about that like, oh, it's tough.
You see, know? He wants an out is what he wants. Because you know what happened yesterday after he got hit on the hand? He went out in the next half inning.
And walked the first two guys, didn't he?
He walked the leadoff guy on four pitches and then went to 3-2 on the next guy. And they made a mound visit. And so, you know, he was adamant about staying in the game. And my guess is that he probably wanted to come out, but felt like, well, everybody's going to call me a wuss if I come out. So he's mad that he can't throw strikes while he's standing on the mound, and he wants to blame it on everybody else.
Okay, but he says he's not coming out.
Oh, yeah. No one coming out of that game. I can't. I'd rather blow out there than come out. So that's where we're at.
Okay, stop. So that's the part. That's exactly what you're talking about.
Yes, exactly,
he says,
right.
Yeah, I wouldn't come out of the game. I can't. I'd rather blow out there than come out, meaning I'd rather blow up my arm. He's saying at this
prove you people wrong. Murray, I need you there. Just to shut you a-holes up.
I'll prove to you how tough I am. I'll spite the team. I'll blow my damn arm up. I'm going to keep talking a bunch of crap.
I'll be on you.
It's basically what he's saying.
Yes.
He says, I would rather...
No one coming out of that game.
Can't.
I'm a warrior.
I'd rather blow out there than come out, so that's where we're at.
I'd rather blow my arm out than come out and listen to you a-holes. That's where we're at right
yes,
now.
Yes, so this is his thing now. It's like he was flipping out. Like I don't know. I start to wonder. you know, he's clearly still got that elbow in his head in some capacity. And so now it's every time that something's wrong with me, you guys make fun of me. And I think a lot of it's in his head. I do. I think he's a hypochondriac. They've given him a clean bill of health. He threw 97 miles an hour last October, for crying out loud, and was ridiculous in terms of how he looked. So now he's out there, he says he's healthy, and it feels to me like he's waiting for something to go wrong.
The thing that really irks me about that comment is, if he feels this strongly about staying out there and toughing it out, well, why can't you do that against New York anytime that you face them? You tap out after three innings, or you just have a numb hand and you can't face them the second time around.
But again, what a guilt trip. What a martyr. I'm going to blow out there instead of coming out and listen to you people.
I'd rather blow out there than come out, so that's where we're at.
That's where we're at. This is what you've reduced me to. I'm going to injure myself. because of the treatment I've gotten, I'm going to blow my arm out there because I can't come out.
I mean, he does. He wants the pity. Like, it's so hard being him.
A martyr. God.
Just pitch.
He hates it so much. He can't stand it. He hates it here. He hates you. He hates us. He hates it. He hates it.
But it's just about him constantly needing to be coddled. You know, again, I have allergies. Oh, you have allergies. Oh. My fingers in. Okay. Well, take the day off. Like he just wants everyone to say to him all the time, "Yeah, no problem. Take the day off. We understand you're trying hard. We get it."
Self-flagellation. That's what it is.
It really is. It's unbelievable. Like I just look at it and say, "What I would love to know is his teammates really how they look at this and go, dude, you think the rest of us aren't fearful of the stuff that's going to happen to us in a game?" You think that
I'm closer. I'm 60 feet away.
I mean, it is. It's unbelievable. Like, just compete, block it out, and compete.
He can't help himself. He really is his own worst enemy at this point.
Jimmy, let's just hear the rest of it. Might as well.
I'd rather blow out there than come out, so that's where we're at. I don't think so.
David Ellis is just talking about the number of foul balls that seem to be hit off. You, Chris, Eduardo, run the pitch count on. Is that frustrating? Obviously, you... I would imagine you like
no, so I mean, so I don't need to hear that. He goes on, you know. They ask him specifically, "Are you joking or being sarcastic?" He says, "Nope, I'm soft. Period. It's not a joke. I'm soft. I'm soft." Price repeated. "It's cold. Can't pitch. My hands tingling. Can't do my job. That's it." he just went on and on and on, and it's like, oh brother. I mean.
To which I would say, you're right, I agree, you are.
Yeah,
I
mean, no, he just wants vengeance on all of us and the media and the fans that doubt him. He's like, he's like, bring it up, Jimmy, he's like Max Cady in Cape Fear when he's doing the chin-ups, saying, like, says love, hate tattooed on his hands, whatever it says, just wants revenge on Counselor. This is David Price every day.
I'm going to show them, I'm going to get my revenge. Those sons of bitches. The one that does that voice of mine that doesn't really even sound like mine, he's gonna pay. Every day I'm gonna work. I'll take a ball off my face. I'll blow out my arm. They're all gonna pay. They're gonna miss me when I'm gone. Every day I think about how much I hate it here. Every day. You sons of bitches.
Dave, you just kidding?
No.
Ah, they got what a martyr.
Oh my gosh, really?
Well, I'd rather blow out my arm than come out.
If I were him, I'd stop talking again. Just pitch, dude.
I mean, it was a little brush fire. He missed his start against the Yankees, which is kind of a big deal because he was playing too many video games. Like, I'm sorry, that's a story. It is. It's just, that's going to be a story that's going to be talked about. You're going to get some ribbing for that, and so you did. But it was really over in like 2 or 3 days. Everyone moved on to something else. No one was even focusing on you and your hypochondria anymore. You were pitching well, so just when you pitch well, no one notices anything or cares about anything. That's
right.
All they
this
care
was
about.
The equivalent of, "Ooh, there's a fire. Here's some gasoline." Pours it right all over it and starts this damn thing up again. You do it to yourself, David.
Can't help himself.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.